Welcome to worship this morning. Our call to worship comes from Lawrence McGinty. To this house we come bringing our boldest dreams, seeking here the inspiration and strength to make them be. To this house we come, hoping to bury broken dreams, to be sustained through their pain and discover new ones amidst our tears. We come here lonely and isolated, hoping to discover human contact, searching for warmth and closeness and care. We come needing to grow beyond plateaus of the commonplace, seeking challenges and commitments productive of greater wholeness and deeper meanings. We come here intense and constructed, hoping for encouragement to shed our pretenses and to be ourselves. Sometimes we come filled with despair and self-doubt, seeking affirmations, prodding us to say yes to ourselves and to life. Somehow, always putting happiness ahead of ourselves, we enter this place, trusting that what happens here will enable us to make and to accept a little bit of what we are to make today. Strange place, this house. Here we cry and sing and laugh, hurt, dance, touch, survive, grow, search, doubt, hope, rejoice, pray, and build. Strange place, this house. So yes, we come this morning to this house that we build and inhabit all at the same time. We come here to worship together. As star lights our chalice, I'm reminded that I did not offer an invitation for you to light candles of joy or sorrow. So we'll do that later during our time of sharing. Thank you, star, for doing this. We light this morning's chalice for the warmth of love, for the light of truth, and for the energy of action. That light, or the love, truth, and action are ever so important as we work to build things, taking that metaphor far this morning as we talk about needing hard hats for worship. So our story for all ages is entitled A Repair Job. It's just one of those kind of myths or stories that I pass along. Once upon a time, there were two sisters who lived side by side. They both owned farms that they worked growing over the years. One grew the sweetest grapes miles around. The other raised vegetables. Now, a small creek ran between the two farms. For decades, the sisters were as close as they could be. Folks in town said if you ever saw one sister, the other was always nearby. They would travel into town together. They would sell their goods together. They shared life together. Meals, tools, stories, everything. Their children played together in the same creek. Life was peaceful. But then one day, over something small, who could remember, they had a little disagreement. It wasn't about much, but they couldn't resolve it. Slowly, the disagreement became an argument, and bitterness set into the sister's heart. There was no more exchanging of meals or tools or stories. Soon, they stopped communicating entirely. They would travel alone, sit alone. They lived alone. One day, a sister answered a knock at her door, and there stood a carpenter. "Hello, ma'am. I'm looking for work. Do you have anything that needs building?" "Yes, I do," replied the sister. She pointed to her sister's farm next door. "You know, that farm belongs to my sister. We were best friends, but you know, she has just suddenly become unreasonable. I can't put up with her anymore. I can't even stand the sight of her. I would like for you to build a tall fence between our properties so I don't have to look at her." The carpenter replied, "Okay, I think I understand your need here. I think I know exactly what to do." And so he set to work. The sister decided to go and do her weekly shopping while he was working so that she wouldn't be in the way. She went into town. She got the things she needed. She dilly-dallied for a bit. When she returned later that day, she was shocked to see that the carpenter that she hired on trust just upon showing up at her door one day didn't do the job he said he would. Instead of building the fence that she asked for, he had instead constructed a beautiful bridge across the creek. It was sturdy and wide, with gracefully carved out handrails and posts. Before she could object, her sister approached her side of the bridge and said, "I've been so foolish. How could I have forgotten you are the most loving person in the world? I'm so lucky you're my sister." And she started across the bridge. The other sister rushed across her side of the bridge to meet her in the middle, and both sisters apologized and hugged and kissed and maybe cried a little. They turned to the carpenter, who had known exactly what to build. They wanted to do something nice for him. So they said, "We have other jobs around the farm we need you to help with. Could you come and do this work?" He said, "No, thanks. I think I'll be moving on now. I've got other fences I need to build." And on he went to the next town. So I invite you to take that story and to kind of sit with it for a moment, pause and reflect over your own life as you think about the fences that have been built in your life and the bridges. There are times in our lives that we experience deep joys and deep sorrows, things to truly celebrate and mourn together. This is a time in worship to share those with one another. If you have a joy or sorrow you would like to share, I invite you to stand. You can raise your hand and Star will bring you a microphone. We'd invite you to share your name so that we know who you are and to tell us what it is that's going on in your life. Is there anyone who needs to share this morning? One of our Unitarian Universalist ministers, Clark Wells, reported on how he learned to give thanks and pay attention. His little 3.5-year-old boy tried to gain his attention shortly after the evening twilight began. "Look, look at the shiny star." Clark and his wife were busy with time and schedules and the irritabilities of the day and other preoccupations. "Yes, yes, we see the star. Now I'm busy. Don't bother me." On hearing this, the little boy launched through the porch door, fixed his parents with a fiery gaze, grabbed his father's face and turned it towards the star and said, "You be glad at that star." The poet Annie Dillard writes this: "When people come into church, they should not only be given an order of service with a smile, but they should also be given hard hats and life preservers. Because church should be a dangerous place, a zone of risk, a place of new life and new birth where we confront ourselves with not only who we truly are, but also who we are called to become." So I invite you to think about that, the beauty and mystery in the universe, and who you are, and who you are to become, and how this church might help us direct our gaze to that. This morning's offering will go to help this church do that, to make it a place where change can happen. And so this morning's offering will now be taken and gratefully received. When David Blanchard, another UU minister, went on sabbatical in East Africa, he heard a story of a people who believe that we are each created with our own song. He writes, "Their tradition as a community is to honor that song by singing it as a welcome when a child is born, as comfort when the child is ill, in celebration when the child marries, and in affirmation and love when death comes." Most of us were not welcomed into the world in that way. Few of us seem to know our song. It takes a while for many of us to figure out which is our song and which is the song that others would like us to sing. Some of us are slow learners. "I heard my song," David writes, "not necessarily from doing extraordinary things in exotic places, but also from doing some pretty ordinary things in some pretty ordinary places. For every phrase I heard climbing Kilimanjaro, I learned another in a chair in a therapist office. For every measure I heard in the silence of a retreat, I heard another laughing with my girls. For every note I heard in the wind on the beach at Lamu, I gleaned more from spending time with a dying friend as her children sang her song back to her. What came to astound me was not that the song appeared, but that it was always there. I figure that the only way I could have known it was my own was if I had heard it before memory went to work, making sense and order of the mystery of our beginning. Our songs sing back to us something of our essence, something of our truth, something of our uniqueness. When our songs are sung back to us, it's not about approval, but about recognizing our being and our belonging in the human family. It is good to know our songs by heart for those lonely times when the world is not singing them back to us. That's usually a good time to start humming to yourself that song that is most your own. They can be heard as songs of love or of longing. Songs of encouragement or of comfort, songs of struggle or of security, but most of all, they are the songs of life, giving testimony to what has been, giving praise for all we're giving, giving hope for all we strive for, giving voice to the great mystery that carries each of us in and out of this world. That idea that we each have our own song speaks to me. For all of my life, I have loved music, whether it's beautiful flute and piano music or pop songs, whatever it is I can hum along, it has spoken to me. There's this one story of a time where I did this project, a Habitat for Humanity house, wearing a hard hat. Many of us were teenagers, and we were working on painting, because that's the one thing you really can't screw up very much. So we're painting the house, and we're singing songs. And it was a religious camp, so we were singing, like, really nice, not poppy, annoying songs, or at least so we thought. The rest of the workers in the house asked us to shut up. They were getting tired of us singing the songs, even though it was somewhat cheerful, and they just wanted us to tone it down a notch. And so we did, we thought. We sang a little bit quieter and a little less peppy, but it still seemed to annoy them, so we could hear them huffing and slamming toolboxes down as they walked outside to get away from the kids in the back room painting. For us, there was something so useful in singing a joyful noise as we did the work that fed us. However it is that you find the song that is yours, it's important to know those tunes, the notes and the melodies, sometimes that may seem discordant, and sometimes that feel oh so good that come together. One of the songs I love most, not my own song that was sung to me before all of time, but a song that I've come to love, is entitled Love Can Change the World. In it, the songwriter Aaron Nequist writes, "Bridges are more beautiful than bombs are." And you can find the correlation to our story for all ages that I love to bring, this idea that rather than the fences we so often think we need, bridges are useful. The very next line is that listening is louder than a lecture. And as Unitarian Universalists, we adamantly know that to be true, right? Many of us know that we would rather be listened to than talked at. And in many ways, relationships are about that ability, the ability to be heard rather than talked over, to be seen and understood. The song ends with this unbelievable face turn to the sky. This, look, there's the star that you should be glad at. He ends the song by saying, "May we never stop this dreaming of a better world. May we never stop believing in the impossible." So often, there's something inside of me that just imagines the song will end, and it won't come to the resolution that I think it should. I see the world, and I think we're in too much chaos and crisis for it to get where I want it to be. My own life is too far afield from where I think it should be too far off the blueprint that I had for myself, that I don't know how I can get it back to where I think it will should be. But the song reminds me, as my own internal song does, not to stop dreaming or believing that something amazing can happen. That still small voice from inside me calls out and urges me to remember that there is some way that is not my own, some miracle, something amazing that leads me through. When I can listen to that song and share it in a situation like this, which is a privilege, it's important for me too to remember that others have songs that are critical to hear. If you can hear the music of the people around you, and many of you know, I live in an apartment, I hear the music of the people who live around me a lot. If you can do that, then you must be close to them, because it can be hard to hear over the hammering and the hitting, the banging, and through the hard hats and the hard heads. It's important to hear those songs, to listen to the songs and stories of others, taking the time and patience and dedication that it takes to do that. Listening, truly deep listening, sitting with one another, setting aside the self, is an art and a craft and a discipline that we must develop. One that rarely comes natural to any of us, but in many ways is the best way for us to grow ourselves and to grow the world we seek to have. Thus, the suggestion that our life come with hard hats, if not the church. Like the carpenter in our story for all ages, we are charged to all build bridges instead of fences in our lives. There are so many times that a small discontent, a splinter of wood gets within our skin and something happens and it grows and it seems like it can't be fixed. And so we go back into our house, we retreat to our homes, to our friends, possibly even to church. Feels like we need to lick our wounds and put up fences and shut doors to shut the world out. They believe differently than we do. They argued with me. They dislike me for who I am. The carpenter reminds us that instead of putting up those fences, creating an opportunity to meet the other in the middle is, in fact, a holy third way. And so, perhaps church is a place to come that can equip us with the tools necessary to do that, to build the bridges, to put together the pieces of the puzzle of life. The construction and deconstruction of everything that makes up the life that we live. Some of us come here with enough clear space in our heads to draw up beautiful blueprints, things, plans that we have designed for ourselves since childhood and can follow them to a T. And others come here so far behind deadlines, over budget, just needing to get something done that we're just trying to hold on. And so I think Annie Dillard is right when she says that really beyond just a piece of paper, we ought to give you a hard hat or a life preserver or something, because this should be a place of risk, a place of new birth and new life where we're called not just to be us, but to be the us that we're called to be, not just our best, most authentic self, though there's something liberating and powerful in being us, but also in being the best version of ourselves that we can become, that holy transformation that can happen when we're in relationship with others. There's a difficulty in finding the right balance between being ourselves and changing. A difficulty in finding the right balance between imagination, which inspires our daily living, and living, which sets the boundaries of our hopes and our dreams. We can get lost in the details sometimes of building our lives. so narrowed in our vision, we can lose sight of our dreams of what might be. And so it takes sometimes the fresh eyes of a child, or the wise eyes of an adult, or just the different eyes of someone else who sees it a different way to take us by the hand, to lead us outside to something beautiful and miraculous and mysterious, and say, look at that, you be glad. Here in this beloved community, it's our hope that you can find people who will take your hand in theirs and help you find the stars that shine bright in your sky. By wearing hard hats, we understand that the work we do, this work of being human, of building the lives we live, lives of integrity, of openness to new ideas, lives where relationships are of utmost importance, even over spiritual truths of the past, we understand that that's dangerous and difficult, but so critical. All of our lives are different and unique, each with different tunes, different melodies, different tempos, different words, different languages. We say different things, but together, if we can learn to sing and make noise and whistle while we work, our lives may blend to make something harmonious, recognizing that there is considerable value in balancing the one with the whole, building not fences, not borders, not walls, but bridges and community and peace. And so today, the question before us is, what is it in our lives we are charged to look out at and see as miraculous and sacred? What's the star in our lives that we have just been ignoring because there is so much going on that we can't take the time to acknowledge? And once we see that and can gaze at it and say that we are deeply glad for its being, how can we build bridges? How can we tear down the fences in our walls and build bridges to those with whom we should be one, with all of our neighbors, all of our community, all of humanity? I invite you to pause for a moment of silent reflection and meditation before our closing hymn, We Would Be One.